Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 12th of November 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear how wastewater is being used in a tabletop reactor to generate hydrogen, how really big science is using really small technology at the Large Hadron Collider, and how good things really do come in really small packages. In this week's interview, Azo Nano's David Fruin speaks with Tina Rankovich from the Australian Nano Business Forum. These stories and many more in this edition of Azo Nano News. While nanotechnology has already staked a large claim to the electronics market and awaits further use as the semiconductor industry closes in on the physical limitations of CMOS, nanotechnology applications are currently being driven by convergence in consumer electronics. The combination of multiple functions into one device, such as the iPhone, is placing a higher burden on the technological specification of the devices, requiring higher integration and density in devices, larger data storage, and better battery life. While mobile devices have reshaped electronics markets to the extent where the memory market now goes primarily to supplying mobile devices rather than PCs, improved battery technology and better data storage still remain an obstacle for wider use and functionality. Nanotechnology has already had an impact on both data storage and batteries. In 2006, hard disk drives enabled by giant magnetoresistance accounted for $25 billion with 450 million units shipped, while 60% of the lithium-ion batteries used are already using nanofibers. An international investigation has reproduced the experiments of Thomas Young in a molecule of hydrogen, the smallest molecular system that exists. In 1803, the English scientist tested a pattern of interferences in light from a distant source on passing through a double slit and thus being refracted. This finding confirmed the theory that light had wave motion properties. The authors of this current research, which appears in the latest issue of the journal Science, uses electrons instead of light and the nuclei of the hydrogen molecule as emitting slits. At much smaller sizes, atomic planes can create interferences in the transmission of X-rays, thus providing information about the internal structure of materials. This is the fundamental basis of the experimental techniques such as X-ray diffraction, thanks to which the DNA double helix structure was discovered. A pioneering team from the University of Leicester is seeking to harness a force of nature only measured accurately a decade ago to help develop the technology of tomorrow. Their work will have applications in what is considered to be science fiction, where minuscule submarine-type machines might be used to destroy cancer cells. The research group is believed to be the only group in the UK carrying out Casimir force measurements of smooth and patterned surfaces and assessing the utility of the force for nanotechnology. The research arises from the quantum fluctuations of vacuum, part of quantum field theory, which at present is the universal theory describing the behaviour of all quantum particles. Results of the research may lead to frictionless bearings and may solve one of the fundamental problems in nanomachines. In an effort to find an answer to the problem of identifying smuggled special nuclear material, researchers at Sandia National Laboratories in California say a neutron scatter camera they are developing may be able to detect radiation from a much greater distance and through more shielding than current detection instruments. The neutron scatter camera has the capability to count neutrons from a source of SNM and localize it, meaning it doesn't only indicate that there's radiation present, but also where it's emanating from and under certain circumstances, how much. Distance is a significant benchmark because it means the neutron scatter camera has the potential to detect through various types of shielding, a concern at any border crossing or point of entry. Mm-hmm. Chemists at the University of Virginia have prepared the first uranium methylidene molecule ever reported, despite the reactivity of uranium atoms with other molecules. This new molecule is a hydrocarbon containing a uranium-carbon triple bond. The findings contribute to chemists' fundamental understanding of uranium chemistry. Researchers have been working on uranium chemistry for 15 years with dozens of different molecules. For this finding, they used a focused pulsed laser to evaporate depleted uranium in a vacuum chamber and reacted the vapor with fluoroform molecules, then trapped the new molecule in argon frozen at 8 degrees Kelvin, near the absolute zero of temperature. One of the most fragile detectors for the Large Hadron Collider Beauty experiment has been successfully installed in its final position. The Large Hadron Collider Beauty is one of four large experiments at CERN's Large Hadron Collider expected to start up in 2008. For this collaboration, including UK scientists from the universities of Liverpool and Glasgow, installing the Vertex Locator detector into its final location in the underground experimental cavern at CERN has been a challenging task. The VLO, as it's known, is a precise particle tracking detector that surrounds the proton-to-proton collision point inside the LHCb experiment. At its heart are 84 half-moon-shaped silicon sensors, each one connected to its electronics via a delicate system of more than 5,000 bond wires. These sensors will be located very close to the collision point, where they'll play a crucial role in detecting B quarks to help in understanding tiny but crucial differences in the behavior of matter and antimatter. Jeff Bolte believes good things come in small packages, very, very small packages. Bolte, a John Hopkins University faculty member affiliated with the Institute of Nanobiotechnology, and several of his colleagues have developed an incredibly versatile micro-scale capsule embedded with nano-sized particles, able to enhance real-time visualization with magnetic resonance imaging, as well as deliver a powerful therapeutic punch to diseases in animal models. Magnetic microcapsules made of seaweed extract and ferric oxide and filled with human insulin islets safely produced therapeutic levels of insulin in swine for up to 4 weeks. By embedding magnetic nanoparticles in a microcapsule just 350 micrometers in diameter, the nanoparticles are concentrated to increase the sensitivity of MR imaging. In addition, the openings in the capsules are large enough to release their therapeutic payload, yet small enough to prevent the contents from coming under attack by the body's immune response system. In a new tabletop reactor, bacteria from wastewater is producing abundant, clean hydrogen from cellulose or even vinegar and a little electricity. By adding a few modifications to their successful wastewater fuel cell, researchers have coaxed common bacteria to produce hydrogen in a new, efficient way. Researchers at Penn State University had already shown success at using microbes to produce electricity. Now, using starter material that could theoretically be sourced from a salad bar, the researchers have coaxed those same microbes to generate hydrogen. By tweaking their design, improving conditions for the bacteria, and adding a small jolt of electricity, they increased the hydrogen yield to a new record for this type of system. Using an innovative device with microscopic chambers, researchers from four institutions have gleaned important new information about how bacteria survive in hostile environments by forming antibiotic-resistant communities called biofilms. These biofilms play key roles in cystic fibrosis, urinary tract infections, and other illnesses, and the researchers say their findings could help in the development of new treatments and preventative measures. With a better understanding of how and why bacteria forms biofilms, researchers may be able to disrupt activity in the bacterial communities and block harmful effects on their human hosts. The device, which allows scientists to use nanoscale volumes of cells in solution, contains a series of tiny chambers of various shapes and sizes that keep the bacteria uniformly suspended in a culture medium. This week's Azo Nano News interview is with Tina Rankovic from the Australian Nano Business Forum. The Australian Nano Business Forum is responsible for the global promotion of Australian developments in nanotechnology. Tina talks about these developments, investments, applications, and the commercialisation of nanotechnology breakthroughs coming from Australia.
Hi, this is David Fruin from Azo Nano. I'm on the floor at Comms 2007 with Tina Rankovic, the Chief Executive Officer of Australian Nano Business Forum. And Tina's agreed to give us a few minutes of her time today to talk about the Australian Nano Business Forum and what they do. Thanks, Tina.
Thank you, David. Well, we do a few things. We've been going a couple of years now, and we've got quite a diverse role. Probably the thing we're most well known for is that we've been active in promoting Australian nanotechnology capability both here and overseas. And we took a delegation up to Japan earlier this year for Nanotech Japan, which is the largest nanotechnology conference globally. The other sorts of things we're doing is attempting to facilitate industry development by providing the mechanism for both existing and potential nanotechnology companies and their stakeholders to get together, and we do that with a variety of events and chapter events and newsletters and so on. The other thing we're doing is we're building linkages between the industry and research communities, and what we're trying to do is provide the opportunity for our research community to basically transfer their technology and their research into Australian industry and overseas. The other thing we find ourselves doing quite a bit of lately is basically putting industry's view to various government bodies and other regulatory funding and decision makers. For example, we sit on a Standards Australia committee about nanotechnology, and we also sit on a national panel of nano engineering. So those are the sort of things we're having input into. And finally, we think it's very important to build confidence in the investor community in nanotechnology, recognising that if the outputs of nanotechnology R&D are to get into products, then they're going to need investment, significant investment, to get to market.
Are there any particular applications of nanotechnology that you're working with, or are you covering all aspects?
Look, we've got members across a variety of industries. That's the beauty of nanotechnology. It's so diffuse that there are a number of industries that have potential. One of the industries we could probably take note of that we're working with quite extensively with is biotechnology and the science industries. And in fact, we've recently done an analysis that shows that a third of all companies in Australia that are recognised as nanotechnology companies are in fact biotech companies.
Okay. Is there any particular areas of nanotechnology that you feel will have the greatest benefit towards mankind?
Oh, look, there's probably a number of ways you could answer that. I think, you know, one of the greatest contributions that I could see nanotechnology making in the future is towards human health. But we have some challenges right now amongst the current crop of opportunities, most notably energy and water, are things that are the challenges of our time, and we really need to deal with them sooner rather than later, because they're problems for us now. And so, you know, nanotechnology has the potential to impact significantly in those areas.
Are there any particular hurdles that nanotechnology and associated companies are going to have to overcome to bring that technology to market?
Look, no particular hurdles, but there's a sort of generic set of issues that all new technologies and all enabling technologies have to deal with, and that, you know, they're around getting investment in the early stages and getting through that valley of death. So investment is an issue, and proof of concept. Sooner or later, the community and society at large will have to mandate that. And I guess the other challenge is, certainly in the developed world, the regulatory frameworks that are going to need to be put in place are probably going to be more significant than for other industry-specific technologies. I think, too, there's also a challenge in the intellectual property management aspects of nano. Because of its diversity, there's the possibility of a lot of broad claims out there, and I think that one of the challenges will be freedom to operate in the future with so many nanotechnology patents out there.
Thanks for your time, Tina.
Thank you, Dave.
Azo Nano Business News. Acron Genomics Incorporated announced that it signed a letter of intent for the acquisition of 100% of Molecular Vision Limited, a private UK company that specialises in the development of miniaturised point-of-care medical diagnostic devices. The devices integrate proprietary microfluidic chips with patented organic semiconductor technology and photodetectors to provide portable lab-quality diagnostic tests in an easy-to-use, low-cost disposable application. These devices have the potential for multiple simultaneous testing of diagnostic markers in a wide range of applications. Applied Materials Incorporated has signed a 5-year contract with Elpida Memory Incorporated, a leading provider of DRAM chips for mobile digital consumer products and high-end servers, to utilise Applied's advanced service capabilities to reduce cost of ownership and improve operational efficiencies at Elpida's semiconductor fab. The contract is part of a collaborative asset management program that includes GE Capital Leasing Corporation, a subsidiary of General Electric Company, and Applied's expertise to increase customer fab asset utilisation. World-renowned materials science expert Robert Hull will join Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in early 2008 to head the School of Engineering's Department of Materials Science and Engineering. A highly recognised and respected researcher, Hull intends to grow the number of materials science students and faculty at Rensselaer and further solidify the department's reputation for innovation and excellence. Chalmers University of Technology in Gothenburg, Sweden, is the first institute in that country to have installed an FEI Titan scanning transmission electron microscope, the world's most powerful commercially available microscope. The university's inauguration of the advanced instrument was marked by a special dedication ceremony and a special series of seminars focused on materials research. Fairfield Scientific is proud to announce a key sale and installation in China. The Fairfield Analyte instrument has been installed at the State Key Laboratory of Electroanalytical Chemistry, which is part of the Chinese Academy of Sciences. NASA Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, USA, proudly announces that its method for manufacturing high-quality carbon nanotubes has been named a winner in the third annual Nanotech Briefs Nano 50 Awards in the technology category. Altair Nanotechnologies Incorporated announced that the recently passed Defence Appropriations Bill, signed into law by President Bush on November 12, 2007, provides for $7 million in federal funding related to two of its ongoing advanced research and development projects. This confirms funding, which was prospectively discussed by the company on October 4, 2007. Nanometrics Incorporated, a leading supplier of advanced metrology equipment to the semiconductor industry, today announced that Axtron AG, a leading provider of deposition tools used in the worldwide production of advanced components for electronic and optoelectronic applications, has purchased the Nanometrics Vertex photoluminescence mapping system to determine material composition, measure layer thickness, and improve the wafer uniformity performance of its equipment. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 12th of November 2007. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.